Elizabeth Manns, and I'd like to welcome you to the April 4th Coalition Show. As you can see, the panel is a little deleted tonight, and we're having a few technical difficulties over here. We have to my right Richard Desati and myself, of course. Mike Wilbur and John Armstrong were not able to join us this week. This is the March 28th edition of the show. It is week 104. And the 88th show since the closure of North Adams Regional Hospital. The April 4th Coalition mission statement is, we are for workers' rights and collective bargaining rights and are against tax breaks for the rich and corporations who ship our jobs overseas. We also support Article 23 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and I assume Dick is doing the first two,
yes,
and I'm doing the third and the fourth.
All right, everyone has the right to work, the free choice of employment, to just and favorable conditions of work, and protection against unemployment. Number two, everyone, without any discrimination, has the right to equal pay for equal work.
Number three, everyone who works has the right to just and favorable remuneration, ensuring for himself and his family an existence worthy of human dignity and supplemented, if necessary, by other means of social protection. Number four, everyone has the right to form and join trade unions for the protection of his interests. March 28th is a very important day in North Adams and for North County Cares Coalition, which is another group that we support, because that this is the anniversary date for when the hospital was actually in North Adams was actually closed. And I understand North County Cares had an event today.
Yes, we did. We didn't let the day pass without acknowledging the fact that it's been two years that the largest geographical area in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that's not served by a full service hospital has been without one.
It's also been 2 years that North Adams has been without a birthplace for families.
Yeah, birthing center, yeah.
And without a place since the Greylock Pavilion closed. It's been a little bit longer, 2 years and 3 months.
Yeah.
But this is a place where, and I have to flip our little cheat sheet.
Everyone
sign.
Would get 24-hour care. 24-hour, yeah, care. But you can flip that little cheat sheet that we have. It's pretty big.
We had
ended
a big
up making
cheat
signs
sheet.
Because the weather forecast was pouring rain for the time that we were going to have the rally and the press conference.
And so
I ran to the store and I bought some old.
Tablecloth?
I bought shower curtain liners, and I bought some magic markers, permanent magic markers, and I wanted to make sure we had some waterproof signs that talked about
what we were there for,
and the one on mental health, I believe, is
it's a couple down, but it's all right. We can work our way to it if you want.
No,
that kinda
just
jumped.
Go right to it because you brought it up.
All right, the Greylock Pavilion is right here.
Yeah, and it...
And it was the treatment center, for inpatient substance abuse treatment, detoxification, buprenorphine services, and no 11 to 12 beds for inpatient behavior and health and substance abuse, which is one of the things the Stroudwater Report called for our area. And which is a very key thing under the opioid to combat opioid addiction and abuse.
Right, the 24-hour care is important.
Is
you know, we have a high rate of you know like
yes,
what it
we
says
do.
Says you know we're a medically vulnerable population here in North Berkshire, and it said that we and our region
has
more asthma,
heart disease, mental illness, and opioid addiction.
Opioid addiction, right. So, you know, we need to have that Greylock Pavilion reopened. They can tell you all you want about, okay, you're going to have dialysis. That's great, but how many dialysis beds are going in there? I don't know.
I believe last study it was four.
Okay.
And with the intention of, but you also have to remember that is a 4 to 6 hour procedure.
And that's
so on average, if you have four beds, you can treat four people every, so maybe you can get 12 people treated
right.
per day.
That's good, but that's not a birthing center.
It is not a birthing center.
You know, there's nowhere for a woman in labor
okay.
in
North
County to go when they're in labor. Instead, they have to go the 45-minute drive to Pittsfield
or to Bennington. To have a baby.
And that's not adequate. That doesn't meet our needs. So we need the mental health beds, 11 to 12 mental health beds, and we need,
Inpatient beds.
The inpatient beds for medical surgery. A medical, something happens immediately. It needs immediate surgery.
You're not going to get it.
We can't get it here. You have to take a 45-minute drive. And with the high rates of heart disease, in most of the people that are in treatment, one of the men that was there said that most of the people that are in treatment in Pittsfield for heart disease are from North County. So they're all adding to their stress, having to drive all that way down there.
We used to have a small ICU and a rehab center.
The ICU and rehab. We need both of those things.
You might be able to get rehab up here still because there's some private rehab practices, but you can't get the medical care that you need.
But we need these things. And for the political leaders, when I thought about this demonstration, I thought about, the visual thing, because we're only looking for 32 beds. That's not a lot. I mean, I was going to try to set up 32 beds on the lawn of City Hall, but... Michael Wilbur talked me out of it. He says, "Dick, you're not going to want to do that." So then I was going to get 32 cots. But then I started thinking about the process. I was going to make 32 pictures of beds or whatever. But then when I was interviewed by WAMC, I started thinking about it. I said, we're looking for beds, but the problem is we have a lot of political and community leaders that are sleeping in those beds. I think that we have 32 people that have been sleeping in their beds and not participating and not calling for a full service hospital and not calling for the beds up on the hill.
Right.
And it's time for them to wake up, get out of those beds so we can use them for the sick people that need them. And that's the way I've been framing it. Framed it in the way that hospital was opened because as a result of a train wreck.
Yes, it was. It was an emergency.
And what we're trying to do is get these politicians and movers and shakers and political leaders and the CEO of Berkshire Health Systems to wake up before there's another train wreck. Do we have to wait for another train wreck for them to open up that hospital?
It's either that or wait for the town to die as every industry decides to leave because we don't have a center.
Not only have we had 2 years with no hospital, but we have 2 years of a deteriorating economy. Store after store, business after business has closed. The mall is losing business. The economy's in a downward spiral. And if they can't get together and say that we should have equal treatment in North County when it comes to health care needs, that it's a basic human right. At the rally, Jim Lipa spoke about the issues that we're talking about now, not as in depth, but he did speak on it. And then he introduced Rachel Branch. Rachel I. Branch is a member of our community. She's a community activist. She has a show on the Public Access TV network. And she has a passion for the pipeline.
She's against the pipeline.
But she also has a passion for this hospital. And the reason why she has a passion for the hospital is because her great-grandfather, Arthur Gallup, I believe.
Yes, he bought the land
at auction.
And they also
for the hospital. And then when his wife died, he donated the North Wing to the hospital. So she sees her family that has a vested interest in what is established there. And she made some demands that we haven't even made, but one demand that she made was that the hospital's name be restored to North Adams Hospital. She demanded that happen. She also demanded that the Attorney General's office freeze all money that was donated to North Adams Regional until beds, inpatient beds, are restored at the hospital.
That's true, because that money is where, under BHS's care?
I don't know where it is right now. We're still waiting for a report from the Attorney General
on the bankruptcy court, as I recall. So.
And the third person to speak after, I mean, Rachel was very passionate. She said she even took a Gallup poll and said people are for this.
Oh, doubt.
And she was very, very passionate about, and people gave her a round of applause. And then she was followed up by Francisco Ramos, mm-hmm. who is a outreach worker, I believe outreach coordinator, for Healthcare for All, which is an mm-hmm. organization that's been in the Commonwealth for a number of years, over 10 years, I think. But they came to North, you know, and he talked a little bit about his experience with the North Adams closure, because his organization was the organization that sued the board of directors for closing, to try to put a stay on the closure of the hospital.
Oh.
But it was short-lived. The Attorney General's office was going to keep it open, but then they backed down. But it was his organization, and he offered help to our mayor, anything he could do to help to keep to make this hospital open, mm-hmm. but he never received a return phone call. But he came to a few of the Tuesday night meetings. And,
yes, he did it first.
But he talked about, from the perspective of Healthcare for All, that just like we read the Basic Human Rights Article 23, I'm not sure if it's Article 24,
it's a basic
human right. Healthcare is a basic human right. So when we're out there calling for inpatient services at our hospital to have beds in our community, you know, he said, you're not there doing it, asking for a favor or asking for a benefit. You're just asking for your own basic human right. And then he even more forcefully said that not only is it a basic human right to get the care necessary in your community, but it's also a basic human right for the community to make a decision about the kind of care that's given within their community. It's not to be decided by people outside the community. It's by a board of directors that's in Pittsfield decide that we don't deserve to have a full service hospital.
Right. It should be our decision.
Basic human rights. It's not a benefit that we're asking for. We're just asking for our rights mm-hmm. to be met.
And we think it's appropriate to remind the community that it is a right, and that even though 2 years has passed, this is a battle or a journey that should continue. Because right. if the conversation ends, you're definitely not going to get anything further from BHS than what you have.
Well,
because
we got a mayor that says
he couldn't be happier
with what he's got. You think he couldn't be happier? He's elated. Well, I'm sorry to say, Dick, you better wake up. You know, mm-hmm. you really should. You should wake up and start representing the people. We're sick and tired of doing the elected officials' jobs. We're glad that Gail Caridi came down and she stood out with us.
She did.
And she said that we got to keep this fight up. And she was talking about even bringing
mine or his. I see why. Okay, go.
A little technical difficulty. That's the only dramatic pause in the whole show. Is it working now?
Yeah, it is. It was turned against your sweater, so you were being muffled. So you might want to go back to what you want Dick Elkenbart to do.
Well, no, we want all the elected officials to start advocating for a full-service hospital. We need to have what they have in South County. Okay. And we're not going to take the excuse that the federal government isn't
giving critical care access?
Yeah, I mean, that's a red herring.
They're not applying
for it. I mean, they had Gail Caridi went to the state legislature before the hospital closed and was able to get $1 million all the way up to the Appropriations Committee. But then the Appropriations Committee came to her office and said, look at Gail, that hospital made over $1 million last year. Why are we giving them money? You know? So they said that about North Adams Regional. You know,
so why would they give BHS any money?
BHS, you know, they had a surplus of $42 million surplus for 2014.
And yet they get all these grants and stuff from the federal,
right.
from the and state government.
I mean, even in the news report that was on WAMC, they said they put millions of dollars in there. But the state has given them millions of dollars, too. And they bought the hospital on pennies on the dollar.
Dollar.
You know, so...
So Mike says, the money is there.
I've said we're grateful, but you know.
We are, but we're also ungrateful. We're grateful for what we've gotten, because we know BHS came in a crisis, and for the first year, they were struggling to figure out the plan, but by now you know what you're doing, and you should have the ability to be honest with the community and let them know where you're going and how far you're willing to go, and then explain why you're not willing to go to the next step.
Right.
Why you're not willing to give us inpatient beds.
What Gail Caridi said, that is, she's going to bring the Stroudwater report back to the governor and have him take a look at it and say, why is this not, why aren't we following through
on this? And surely our state and federal government can find money to help BHS give us these things to get
right,
it launched. They don't necessarily have to support BHS after it's launched.
Right. Someone mentioned it. You know, we're going to get, you know, we're going to get victory. It's not about victory. It's about
reconciliation.
You know, we have a point of view, and the people at Berkshire Health Systems has a point of view. But it doesn't seem like we're having much direct communication. We met once with one officer, we were more or less told, you know,
go away, we got it.
We're going to take care of it. You just sit back and relax. But we're going to continue to advocate and until they start listening to us and start providing the services for those people in need. And one of the things that Jim Lipa also said after Francisco Ramos spoke, he held up a binder, and what we have postcards to David Phelps asking him to open up that hospital as a full-service hospital. And we have over 600 postcards that are signed by North Berkshire residents with notes about their own feelings about why that hospital should be open. And we're going to present those to David Phelps. And, and Jim said, we're not going to stop. We're not going to go away. We want to have a community hospital. We want to be a community. You know, enrollment's down at MCLA. Businesses are closing. We have to stem
6% of the population is leaving the county.
Yeah, we need to stem
probably
the tide.
10%.
And the way to go is right there at that hospital. Mm-hmm. Inpatient beds. We're not asking for a lot. 32 beds. And just what they have in South Berkshire.
At the award-winning Fairview Hospital.
Yeah. So
that's all
I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but
you're not beating a dead horse. You're beating one that's in critical condition. you're doing.
You know,
and it's the most important
issue
facing us.
Yeah, it just frustrates me. You know, I mean, it just frustrates me when, you know, elected officials can't take the time. I'm grateful for Gail coming down. But
the mayor didn't come out from City Hall since we had it at City Hall.
No, he wasn't available.
He must have been busy
doing something. But that's okay, you know, maybe we didn't do proper planning. I don't know, it snuck up on him. I don't know.
Really,
anyway,
we snuck up?
I don't know.
Didn't we have to ask permission to be in City Hall before we ever did it?
Well, we don't want to go there. Yeah, we did, but anyways, let's change it a little
Would you like
bit.
To change topic and talk about another one of your favorites, which
is Bernie Sanders? Well, I want to go back to our name, though, the April 4th Coalition, because this show is probably going to air on April 4th if everything starts working. But, you know, we were founded in 2011 as an ad hoc group organizing a rally on April 4th in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers whose collective bargaining rights were under attack. The group has continued to act in solidarity with the poor and workers in North Berkshire County and across the country and the world. You know, we produce this TV show, and we have sponsored concerts and forums and rallies, and we join other civic organizations like North County Cares. Mm-hmm. And we continue to do that. So we're having our 50th anniversary coming up next month. And
yes,
also it's the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, who gave his life.
Come to think of it, we're actually going to be taping on April 4th.
Yeah. Oh, well, he gave his life.
Yes.
He gave his life for...
yes, he did. He gave his life
For people, and he was looking for social and economic justice for
that
all.
Was the one in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
And it's the sanitation workers?
The sanitation workers were out on strike, and they were striking for collective bargaining rights, and people told them, don't go to Memphis, you don't need to do that, you know, that's taking you away from what we're working on. But he went, he wanted to stand there with the workers in Memphis, and that's where he was assassinated.
Gave his life.
And so I just wanted to make mention of that.
Okay. And also, would you like to do Bernie Sanders, since he had a very good weekend this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, not that, you know.
As I understand it, because we all hear in the press how Bernie is so far behind Hillary Clinton in the delicate trail that he has no path forward, that he can't possibly win it, and
that's just not true.
And that is not true.
No,
even though I am not necessarily a strong Bernie supporter, I am kind of in the middle of the fence on this one, but I do not trust the media when the media says that he can't come forward and win, because when the media talks about this thing, when they talk about delicate tallies, they are throwing in, they're not letting you know that it's proportional in 80% of the states to begin with, and that there are pledged and unpledged delegates. They just happen to throw the pledged and the unpledged into the tally count when they say somebody has won. So the perception that he is trailing her by a wide margin isn't quite accurate. He's probably within 300 delegates of her by now.
Yeah,
pretty close.
It's pretty close. I mean, you know, let's just look. I mean, Sanders won by, he took 75% of the vote in Alaska. Was it
Washington?
Washington State.
I believe Hawaii was
in
on
Hawaii
the block.
Also, 75%. He took huge, you know, those were big wins. He won over 100 delegates, you know, that.
Right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up here on my phone
But either way, I mean, and if he took 75%, he got 75 to Hillary's 25, and it points to a need that is still not being met by the Hillary Clinton campaign if people are still willing to vote for him.
Right. Well, I mean, he appeals to people. He's drawing big crowds out in Oregon, in Washington. I mean, and he claims that the elections that are coming up, the primaries that are coming up, are in his favor. You think he's going to win big in New York? I don't know about New York, but California.
Yeah, he's pretty
sure
he's going to
win. I mean, Hillary Clinton was a senator from New York, but.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
But he's from the abutting state as well, so Vermont's right next door.
I talked to one of our former members who's also a scholar on Dr. Martin Luther King, and he's a big Bernie supporter, Stuart Burns.
Oh, yes, good.
And
Professor Williams as well in history?
Yeah, his father was too in the Kennedy administration.
And what
his idea was, Bernie's in a no-lose situation. If he goes back to the Senate,
correct,
he is going to be one of the most powerful voices in Washington because he has a network of people that have worked really hard. His strength has been the grassroots campaign, people that from everyday working world came out to work for Bernie.
Right.
You know, it wasn't party regulars. It wasn't the elected officials that were coming out to back him and endorsing him. He had a claw and do the hard work and appeal to
get these people. Right.
Yeah,
to get them out on
the
street.
Appeal to the voters. And he's got a good following. And
he will go back.
He's not ready to build that structure now because he still thinks he has a pathway to win this. Because those superdelegates, I heard a woman, she teaches at Harvard University, and she was on that show Fresh Air on public radio, but she was being interviewed about the primary process. I guess she wrote a book about the primary process. And she talked about it. She said that the Democratic Party set these superdelegates up, I think it was after the Jimmy Carter's Kennedy election.
That sounds right, because
they decided that they wanted the superdelegates because they didn't think it was right that if a congressman or an elected senator or congressman wanted to go to the Democratic
convention
and have a vote, that they'd have to go to a local Democratic Party caucus and run against local
people.
So they wanted to have them at the party, at the
convention,
and to have a vote. So that's why they set up the superdelegates. But she said there's never been a case, and she doesn't believe there ever will be a case, that the superdelegates will go against the popular vote in their state.
Mm-hmm.
That she really feels, and I think the same thing happened with Obama. In the beginning, Hillary had all the superdelegates tied up. But then when Obama started to steamroll and started to get more and more popular, you know, the people just started breaking away, saying, hey, you know, we're got to go with the majority. I know we like you, Hillary, but, you know, the majority of the people are voting for
this way.
Barack
Obama.
Senator Obama at that time. Yeah, so we're going to have to support him because he's got the most delegates. We're not going to fight that system. And I think that's what will happen with Bernie. He thinks he still has a chance. Who knows? It might be impossible for him, but he still thinks he has a chance. And these showings are quite, I mean, it's not like he hasn't won a state.
No.
I think, you know, he's won Maine, he's won New Hampshire, he won Vermont, he almost won Massachusetts. But he won Colorado, he won Nebraska, Oklahoma, Kansas.
No, he didn't win Iowa. Hillary won Iowa.
Yeah, Kansas, though, and Idaho. I think he won Idaho, and he won Illinois. He didn't win Ohio, though, but he, you know, so he just won Washington, Hawaii.
He won Michigan.
Was it Michigan?
Yeah, he took Michigan.
Okay, he didn't win Illinois, then.
No, he didn't win Illinois. He won Michigan because of the car.
Well, I'm just, and it's not just about winning and losing. It's about what they stand for. And, you know, the Fight for 15 is one of Bernie's
passions, which is one of ours.
And the state next door, Governor Cuomo, put it into the budget that the $15 minimum wage would eventually be the law of the land in New York. So that's part of the negotiations that's going on right now on how soon they will phase it in. And there might be some exemptions. They're talking about farm workers and different things. In the phase-in period, there's a little bit of an argument there. But the Fight for 15 is going to continue. Not, you know, Andrew Cuomo isn't the spokesman for the Fight for 15, but they have a working families party in New York.
And I
think that's what we need in Massachusetts, a working families party. And that's more or less what Bernie Sanders is doing. He's representing working families.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's running in the Democratic Party, but he's representing working families. He's not representing the corporations.
Right. Well, he would have had to, because if you don't run in within the Democratic Party, no independent candidate has ever successfully won. If you're a third party candidate, we got 49 seconds.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
I am watching it.
Okay.
But
you're right.
Off.
Third party candidates just usually mess it up. And I think Bernie Sanders made it a point that he was not going to run as a third party candidate.
No, he's not going to run as an independent. He doesn't want to
split the
vote.
He made it clear the people that convinced them, the Democratic
party.
Progressive Democrats, which is a big organization that worked on him, trying to get him to run. Run, Bernie, run was their campaign, but he said, I'm not running as a third party.
No, he
can't. So anyways, I just want to say thank you to everybody that made it a success today, the anniversary of the closure of the hospital.
And we'll see everybody next week on our anniversary.
All right.
Power to the people, as Mike likes to say, and vote love.
With workers' blood, spikes of the buses we must fight for. From the cities and the farmlands to trenches full of mud, wars have always been the buses wiser. The Union forever defending our rights, now with the black leg the workers unite, with our brothers and our sisters. Many far off lands, there is power in a union. Now I long for the morning that I realize brutality and unjust laws cannot defeat us. But who'll defend the workers who cannot organize when the bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us?